Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Every style of football, whether it's the way the Bills play or any team, there's going to be advantages to the way that you play. There's going to be disadvantages to the way that you play. Nothing is going to always be great against every team. And this Baltimore team, which is a unicorn in some ways with Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry and what they're able to get done, it just exposes the worst parts of the way the Bills choose to play defense. And, you know, even when you're not even talking about light boxes, right, they kind of corrected that. You still saw the issues. They prioritize matchup style linebackers that thrive playing in space.
Joe Marino of the Locked On Bills podcast and the Herd Mentality Substack. You want to get those All 22 videos sent to you? Herd Mentality Substack. That's it. The Herd, H-E-R-D, Mentality. Just really great. Joe does great work. All right. That Matthew Stafford getting his first scramble in week 12. I was trying to think of a game we could play. We used to play the second and 17 game. When you call a run play on second and 17, your season ends.
Yeah.
We also used to play the who will be the last team to punt inside their opponent's 40. That was a fun one.
Yeah, that's right.
Now,
did anybody do that? Did Tomlin must have.
I want to go with a last to scramble pool now.
Last to scramble.
It's only down to Rodgers, Goff, and Stafford.
Yeah.
The last to scramble pool. A last to scramble draft could be fun.
Yeah.
You know,
you'd get so many guys eliminated in week one, though.
Right. Well, I mean, Josh Allen's the last pick. Josh Allen's going undrafted, you know?
Yeah, what's the point of that?
Right. 803-0550 to join us in 1-888-550-2550. On the Ravens, on turning our attention to the Jets, and you know, Joe Marino there, who we just played, referred to the Jets as dollar store Ravens. You know, Justin Fields is not Lamar, but he's mobile, and Breece Hall is not Derrick Henry, but he can run.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see if the Bills have better answers. But Joe, if you missed it, laid it at the feet of not the defensive line, but the linebackers being the biggest issue maybe in the game. Safeties were rough, and linebackers being a big issue in how what Baltimore does, even without Patrick Ricard and Isaiah Likely, they ran all over this Bills team, and in large part because the linebackers just it's a poor matchup. So they don't play Baltimore again until maybe they don't play them at all. Maybe the one seed is Kansas City plays Baltimore, so you don't have to, and you do want the Chiefs to win that game.
Yes,
and then they come here.
I thought I was playing golf with Sally yesterday, and we said that at one point. Like, what percentage? I don't even think it was a question of like who most people would pick, but what percentage of Bills fans right now would say you only have to play one in a playoff game? Which one would you pick? Would it be 90% would say the Chiefs, even though they're 0-4 against the Chiefs in the playoffs and they're 2-0 against the Ravens?
It's a good question.
Because I would definitely say the Chiefs. Wouldn't even be a hesitation. If they were playing, if we went into a divisional round playoff where the Bills were the one seed and they're playing Jacksonville and the other game, they do their business and they're through. And the next game that's on, Ravens and Chiefs. I would be rooting for the Chiefs. Easily rooting for the Chiefs. Nothing to do with I just would be done with the Mahomes part of it because that'd be cool too if they lost. But for the Bills' sake, it wouldn't even be close. Much rather play Kansas City. Aren't the Bills supposed to be beat or supposed to be built defensively to play an offense like the Chiefs? They haven't won, but they're more built that way than all of what that sounds like how they are totally not built to stop a team like the Ravens.
I don't know. Like the Chiefs might never get off the ground to what they want to be this year. I told you earlier in the week that so Rice coming back will be big because he's a feature for them. They ISO him all the time.
Yep.
Worthy, what's the story there? We don't know how long that's going
to
be.
He's going to try to play through it at some point. He's not going to do surgery. He's going to wear a brace when he comes back.
If that doesn't work, Tyquan Thornton is the backup plan there, I guess, because he made the team. Kelsey's not what he once has been.
No, the touchdown he had in week one, like he was wide
like
open.
A busted coverage. Yeah, almost shouldn't have happened. So anyway, like we'll see about that. I like a thing that Chris Trapasso did. I want to play this game. And they were playing it a little bit on ESPN this morning. Spot the lie. Which game from week one is the biggest lie? Which happens sometimes. They were going to seasons where, hey, remember when this team got blown out in week one and then finished 14-2, or this team got a huge win in week one and went 1-15? Basically, the idea was over time, sometimes you get really big, disastrous game one, and then the ship gets righted. The Bills lost to the Steelers with a blocked punt.
Mm-hmm.
And then how were they that year? They're fine. Like, it wasn't a sign of any major problem. They lost to the Jets in New York. How was the season? It's fine. You know, you get past it. So spot the lie in week one. And we can go through some of these games here.
Mm-hmm.
They're not all up for discussion. I guess they all could be. Would you?
Yeah, to some degree they could be.
I don't know if anyone's going to get too heavy on like Arizona beating the Saints.
No.
But anyway, here are your options. Colts 33-8 over Miami. Colts, all right, I'll give you like narratives. Colts dominate. Yeah. Raiders over Patriots. Bengals struggle against Browns but win. Broncos beat the Titans. Packers beat the Lions, who look toothless.
Mm-hmm.
Chargers over Chiefs. Rams over Texans. Vikings over Bears. Steelers over Jets. Do you have one that you look at week one, you think, I wouldn't take any stock in what happened in that individual game?
For both, that's the one.
It can be for one team or both teams.
For one team, I'd definitely look at that Colts-Dolphins game and say, that's not going to be the Colts all year. Like, okay, they are not going to be some 11-win team that is dynamic on offense. They looked amazing in week one. That game was all about Miami.
Don't forget who they have on defense in their coaching staff now. Lou Anarumo.
Lou Anarumo.
Like, if they get a good defense,
yep.
Let me give you their schedule.
They could be that. I just cannot see them being an offense that is nearly as productive as they were in that game.
Let's do a very, 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 very fast pick the Colts, how many games they're going to win. They already have one win. You tell me if they're going to win these games. Broncos.
Loss.
Titans.
Win.
Rams.
Loss.
Raiders.
Loss.
Cardinals. Home.
Win.
Chargers.
Loss.
Titans again, this time at home.
Win.
Steelers.
Loss.
Falcons.
Loss.
Chiefs.
Loss.
Texans.
Loss.
Jaguars.
Loss.
Okay, season's over. There you go. You did it.
There's a lot of those games in the middle where like those are going to be close spreads, I mean,
even,
close games.
Even from there, it's Seahawks, yeah. Seahawks, Niners, Jaguars, Texans.
Yeah,
I feel like
I don't see it.
You haven't met 4-3 and then finishing 5-12.
Yeah. The other lie I would say, I saw this on the Lions. The Lions in the first half, they got behind in that game. Like, I think the Packers are great, and I think right now they should be the division favorites, and they look like the challenger to the Eagles in that conference. The Lions, though, they're not. I don't think they're going to be a bad team. I don't think they're going to be fighting for a playoff spot. I think they will be in. They will be good. They will be a double-digit win team. That game, they had long drives that they were putting together that just, like, first half, they went on a 16-play, 78-yard drive. You can tell me if that's actually impressive or not, because there's a lot of small plays in here, that ends at the Green Bay 12-yard line, and they kick a field goal. Then they get the ball back, and they go on another 13-play drive. They go down the field, and Goff throws an interception in the red zone. It's like, that's two drives where you get down to the red zone, yeah, and you come away with three total points. Like, that's their fault, but
yeah,
there will be a lot of games where they come away with 14, and that's a close football game.
I remember a game between the Lions. This happened to the Lions in New England. They lost 33-0 to the Patriots a couple of years ago. It's a Ben Johnson game. And they got.
Isn't there a game where they went like 0-6 on fourth downs or
yes,
something?
Yes. 0-6.
Is that it?
They got into New England territory on every possession.
And like didn't score.
And went 0-6 on third. And they lost 33-0 or something like that. It's like, okay, that's an indicator things went sideways. For the Dolphins, so their first possession, interception. And that's interception on their first possession. At the Indy 40. Their second possession, this is when a game goes sideways. Tua, sack, fumble. Third possession, punt. Fourth possession is in the third quarter. So you got three possessions in the first half, and interception, fumble, punt. Interception, downs, and then your touchdown is a garbage time touchdown. So Tua turned the ball over three times. The number of plays the Dolphins ran in this game, it's one of those games where I'm not telling you they're going to be good, but you didn't even run enough plays to know if you're good because you turned it over. Their length of drive for Miami on plays, number of plays. In the first drive, they had 5 plays. Second drive, 2 plays. 8, 6, 7, 9, and then 9 in the end of the game.
Wow.
At halftime, they had, I can do the numbers here, 5 plus 2 plus 8. They had 15 plays in the first half.
Man.
Are they good? Probably not, but I don't know. Everything seems like it's falling apart for them, and week one was a mess.
It just, I can't imagine it turns around, though. Like, that they are.
Well, if it doesn't.
How would it happen? What are they going to be that is, oh, we're a 9-win team that's fighting for the playoffs in the final week of the season? Because their secondary is terrible, and their the middle part of their defense is terrible, and their offensive line is terrible, and their quarterback is fragile and can't take hits, and now their receiving core isn't even good anymore. Like, what's good?
I think what you do is this. If you're a Dolphins fan, you're hoping they figure it out, but they have to figure it out before the season ends. And I've got their schedule here. Ready?
Yeah.
You have to beat the Patriots this week. Have to. That's at home. Mm-hmm. Then you're playing the Bills. See you later. Then you play the Jets, the Panthers, the Chargers, and the Browns. You could, if you could stick around 500 and try to figure it out, try to get your game right, the schedule gets tough. Later in the season, the Dolphins have a stretch of Falcons, Ravens, Bills, Commanders. So you have to win this week. You have to get two of your next three, maybe three of your next four. If you're Miami,
you could.
I mean, Miami's schedule. Listen, I'm going to put this out there. If they don't start winning soon, T word, they should tank.
Yes, they should.
They should tank.
Yes, they should.
Because I just gave you their finishing run. I want to give you more of it. Their last, from October 26th on, they play Falcons, Ravens, Bills, Commanders, Saints, Jets, Steelers, Bengals, Bucks, Patriots. You should tank.
Totally. I think there's a couple things that are interesting to me about them, and it's where I would be as a fan if I were them. I would be ready now.
You'd be ready now.
I'd be ready now. Go to the bottom. I'm done. Whatever gets, you know what I would want? I saw this stat yesterday that Chris Greer, this is his 10th season as the Dolphins general manager. He has now set the record for most years as a GM in the NFL without ever winning a playoff game. 10 years in, I think I saw that he's been in the organization since 2000, which is when they last won a playoff game. So I'm ready for the GM to go. I'm ready for the coach to go. I want it to be so bad that they have no choice. You got to blow the whole thing up. I'm done with Tua if I'm them. I'm done with all of it. I want to start over, and I want to be picking first if I'm the Dolphins. Even that, like, oh, they play the Jets, and maybe they could beat the Patriots this week. Like, let me scrape my way to 9 wins, and maybe I backdoor it into week the 7 seed so I get my doors blown off by Baltimore in round one. I wouldn't want that if I'm Miami. Just prolonging the inevitable at that point. So I'd already be wanting to write the obituary on them. Which, listen, I thought this a little bit when they got there. I thought Mike McDaniel, it was going to work, but the one mistake he made, you tied your car to Tua. And now the team isn't perfect around him, and you're seeing a quarterback that is good when everything is good around him, and when there are problems, he can't lift everything up.
It's not even just that. I mean, his record with Tua starting and finishing games is very good. It's Tua's not durable enough. It's right.
He's had to build an offense.
For sure. Near
that
perfect
when
offense.
When anybody else comes in and runs it, like nobody else can do it because it's so tailored to this very specific, unique quarterback that he has.
Yep.
That can only do certain things.
803-0550 is our number in 1-888-550-2550. Maybe you saw it, maybe you didn't. Mike Vaccaro of the New York Post. There's a piece up at the New York Post. Headline: Josh Allen is the NFL's new unicorn.
A lot of unicorns.
What a time to be alive.
The new unicorn.
The new unicorn.
Unicorn means there's not anything else like him, and there never ever has been. And I think you could say that about him.
It's pretty close.
The Elway comparisons are like, it's the best you can do, but it's not the same.
I'll say this. I think there might be a little bit of a... The rivalry clouds what people say. And for Bills fans to get mad at Ravens fans for trashing Allen, a lot of you were just as guilty trashing Lamar. Lamar is unbelievable.
Yep.
He is simply the other unicorn.
There's two unicorns that they are
Josh can be a
Josh is a dragon in sure. Lamar's
Josh
uniform.
Can be a narwhal, whatever you want. I don't know. He can be a
narwhal.
Yeah, narwhal. Don't know what a narwhal is?
No, I know what a narwhal is, but do you want to be a narwhal?
Why do you want to be a unicorn? Is a unicorn have powers? Or is it just rare?
Yeah, they have powers, don't they?
What are the powers?
Can't they, like, shoot lasers out of the
unicorns
of the horn?
Shoot lasers out of their horns?
Yeah, can't they?
The people that first wrote about unicorns...
They fly, right?
Hold on. I want to go back. They fly? They have wings.
But I think they fly anyway. It's the magic.
They just
that's
gallop on air.
That's a Pegasus that has wings.
Yeah, Pegasus has wings. A unicorn...
That's right.
Lasers. The people that first crafted unicorns,
so
lasers did not exist.
That's right. All right, so how about Lamar can be the unicorn and Josh is a Pegasus? He does fly through the air more often than Jackson. Jackson doesn't jump over people.
Pegasus is an actual character, though. It's not a Pegasus. He would be Pegasus.
Sure, does unicorn start that way, too, though? Pegasus is a character in what? The Iliad or whatever?
The Iliad?
Not the Iliad.
Oof, this is getting better and better.
Yeah. It's football season. I got third string running backs on the mind right now.
Sure.
I can't be reaching into deeper parts of my brain.
But Lamar is just... I said it on Monday or Tuesday. Any idea that... We had this early in Lamar's career, right? The game here where he didn't have that big of a game. The comeback win in Baltimore. They're down 20-3 and they win. The Taron Johnson pick six game. That Lamar, you could make a case that, you know what? The Bills have an answer for this guy. Like, they don't get beat by him. I don't think you have it anymore. The team mm-hmm. that they've built over there right now, you don't have an answer. For what he does and Henry and everything that they have, you don't have an answer.
Mm-hmm.
Which means...
Who does?
No, I agree. That's the million-dollar question, though. All this talk about how the Bills in this game played a low-event game, wait for them to make a mistake, blah, blah, blah. I don't want you to approach it like that in the playoffs.
Right.
I want you... to approach it like they approached that Miami game after Miami scored 70, which is, okay, 70's cute. Watch this. And they just foot to the gas pedal the whole way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they will, but I don't want to be passive in the playoffs. And they've done it multiple years. They did it against Kansas City 2 years ago.
To get to that point, though, I think they have to have an acceptance that you're not going to stop this team.
I have an acceptance that you're not going to stop
that team. And I wonder if they do. Maybe they thought from the playoff game, like, we found a blueprint that keeps them a little bit... They scored less than 30 points in that game, right? Against Baltimore, that's a win. However you get to that place, you keep them under 30, that's a huge win. And how many times do you need to see them look like they did on Sunday to realize, like, that's not going to happen very often?
You held them to below 30 because you held them to 25 because of a drop two-point conversion. So that's 27, and it's tied in the fourth.
Uh-huh. But that's a win. That's a win against that offense.
I know. 25
like
is a win.
That is as good as you're going to do, however you get it. Yeah, I don't know. Like, again, part of it is, like, I don't know what else they're supposed to do differently defensively, which means the onus goes to the offense.
Yes.
Unless you believe, like, Michael Hoyt is going to make that much of a difference that they're going to stop Henry, and that's going to make a 10-point difference between the week one game and if you see them again. And I just don't. I think he's a good player. I think Ogunjobi could be a good player for them. But I don't see them being so much better on defense in 5 months that I'll be thinking, oh, no, they can handle him on defense and play that low event style. Like, no, I think they're going to have to score points against that team.
Meanwhile, the AFC West, 2 years ago we thought it was the case. Now it is. Find the bad team. It's the Raiders.
It's probably the Raiders, and they look decent.
They are not bad.
They look decent.
They are not bad. The Chargers and the Broncos and the Chiefs, that will be a three-team race.
The Broncos didn't look good, but they played a really bad team that kept dropping the football.
Yeah.
But I still like them for the year. Their defense is awesome. They turned the ball over a lot. That could have been a little bit of it, too. Yeah, that's 1-4. Is that the best division in football right now?
Yes.
Like, without having a weak spot?
Yes.
Because every other division seems to have, like, at least one bad team. Maybe the NFC West, you would say, doesn't have a bad team either.
Let's get a call in here. John and Cheektowaga. John, quickly before the break. Go ahead.
Yeah, what you just said, I was going to mention when I called. That Miami game was right after they scored 70 points. They've been the same team ever since then. McDaniels had 2.5 seasons, almost 3 seasons, to adjust. And I think it's because of Tua. Tua just cannot, once he gets sacked or fumbles or throws a pick, he kind of loses his composure. And I'm sure he's had talks with him where he said, listen, you got, unlike Josh, he's just not a physical presence where, you know, his size really hurts him, I think. Do you guys agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, that's been, I think, the question about them is the league has figured you out on offense, and what's your pivot? And I don't know how many pivot options you have when you have a limited quarterback. So that might be a lot of it. I think their pivot has been, we're just going to throw the ball really short. That's it. We're going to throw the ball really short, and we're going to run the ball a lot. They ran the ball. For all the talk about how much the Bills went from a pass-heavy team to a run-heavy team, the Dolphins did that, like, multiplied. So that is it. I think the coach is kind of stuck at, I got to pivot. The league knows they've gone one full year without Tyreek Hill catching a 30-yard pass. But I don't know what option you have when you can't roll the guy out of the pocket. You can't throw the ball to certain parts of the field. That's what Xavien Howard, the Colts corner, said on Sunday. He's like, we literally just left the sidelines open. Like, go ahead, throw to the sidelines. We're going to take the middle short game away from you and see what you do. And the Dolphins didn't have an option. They didn't have anywhere to go with the ball. So I don't know. I think they're stuck. I think it's going to get worse and worse. But maybe the coach gets fired after the Bills game.
803-0550. Thanks, John, for the phone call. 1-888-550-2550 to join us. What do we got when we get back? Let me find some stuff I haven't yet been able to get to that's on my list of things to do. Rivalry uniforms?
Rivalry uniforms.
Are they available today?
Today.
Listen, if they're not selling a Deion Dawkins rivalry uniform immediately, we riot. Immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Dawkins should have been the first one to get one. I think I've seen like 4 or 5 options will be available, and I do not see Dawkins.
I have not seen it either.
All right, well, here we go.
I hope they have them. I'm not confident right now.
They better have it. All right, Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's just amazing what this league can do, right? It's just amazing what this league can freaking do. This guy has the skinniest legs on the planet and comes in and makes the game-winning kick. And he's old as smoke. I love him to death. I'm glad that he still got it. He just put something else in his history book of being a legend. I'm thankful for him. I'm glad that he's here. And like I said before, let's keep his old ass in Buffalo.
Matt Prater.
Good start. How's Tyler Bassfield right now?
He's probably feeling a little nervous. We have the date for the Bills holiday touchdown love story premiere, November 22nd. Maybe you knew that. But the people that are going to be in the movie were at Highmark for some promotional stuff.
Okay.
I also saw... Hold on. I got to do a thing here.
They were Highmark on Sunday?
Yeah.
For promotional stuff?
I'm looking.
I did see a trailer. There was a trailer dropped for this movie.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Maybe you have to see who's in it.
Tease.
I'm currently searching that couple on Instagram that's really cheesy and they sing songs and stuff because I'm 99% sure they were at the game.
They have not appeared in my algorithm, so I'm not sure.
No idea their names.
They're a couple who sing songs.
They sing and perform on Instagram, and it's very, very elaborate and cheesy and humorous and lighthearted, I guess. I don't know who they are. If I saw their faces, I could tell you who they are.
So I don't know.
I also don't know. And this
are they from? Could they be from Buffalo?
No.
You think you would know if they were
definitely,
from Buffalo?
No, definitely not.
Definitely not.
If they were from Buffalo, we would all know that. They're definitely not from Buffalo. I don't know who they are. I'm going to get bombarded with, are these the people that sing on Instagram? Anyway, 803-0550 to join us. 1-888-550-2550. What do you got?
We were just talking in the break a little bit. There was a stat that was circulating on Twitter yesterday from Josh Dubow of the AP. So before Sunday, when the Bills won, Josh Allen had been 0-16 when starting a drive, trailing by a score in the final 4 minutes, playoffs included, before that drive on Sunday. Only Brad Johnson had been worse since 2000. That is a Bills stat. Than more than it is a Josh Allen stat.
Because
I think there were
he won the 13 seconds game twice.
Right. Also, there was the New England game a couple of years ago where Mac Jones drove the ball down the field and won it with like 10 seconds to go. There's the Hail Murray game where they drive down against the Cardinals. He throws a game-winning touchdown to Diggs, and then Kyler Murray throws it to DeAndre Hopkins, and it's game over. There were a couple of games where he tied it. Minnesota. After they blew the lead, he drove down with 31 seconds left and tied it. So, I don't know if that has to be a completely irrelevant stat, but it's not a Josh Allen stat to me. Because there were a lot of games where he did the job, and then his defense couldn't close it. And Sunday, you didn't need the defense to close it. Because they expertly executed it down to the wire. But still, very surprising to see that. The first thing I thought of was the GM saying after last season, oh, I'd take the ball down three
every
2 minutes ago every time. Like, oh, yeah, you would, because the team's never won in that environment. Not his fault, not the quarterback's fault.
No, that's right.
But they've never won in that situation. Now they have.
Matt and Clarence is up. Hey, Matt, good morning.
Oh, am I up?
You're up.
Oh, just listening to you guys talk about the Dolphins, like, if the Bills' offense continues rolling like this, I'm pretty sure Brady will get a head coaching job next year. Mm-hmm. And if the Dolphins struggle and McDaniel gets fired, I wouldn't hate the idea of McDaniel coming to Buffalo and trying to resurrect his coaching career. Like, I'd be super excited to have him as an offensive coordinator just because, what he did with Tua, what could he do with Allen?
Yep, he'd be on my list if we cross that bridge in the next offseason. And I wouldn't want to indict him for everything that's happened there. I think there's only so much you can do. And he would also be a Shanahan-style coach. Just be curious to see how that looks with Allen, although I think Brady runs some of those types of concepts. So yeah, he's a guy. He's a name. I think he'll get fired. He right now, I heard Mike ask this question yesterday. Who would you take right now to be the first coach fired, Mike McDaniel or the field?
Mike McDaniel.
Wouldn't you take McDaniel? Because that's who I would take.
Yeah, it's coming off the tracks real quick over there.
Yep. Thanks, Matt.
It could be Dable's another option for this. I don't know who else could be like on the verge, but it's going to be McDaniel
to be fired
first one fired for sure. I don't know how he could make it to the end of the year. I guess you went through the schedule. That could be how he falls into 7-8 wins. And he keeps it on the tracks just long enough to make it to the end of the year. But I think that is absolutely ending this year.
803-0550. Thank you to the person on Twitter. Now, I don't see anything on their feed. The Holderness family. Yes. I swear I saw them walking into the stadium.
Yeah?
Yes. They're on Instagram. They do a lot of cheesy videos and cool, whatever, fun stuff. But I don't see that they posted anything. But.
Okay. Don't you think they probably would have? Wouldn't they have been singing Mr. Brightside at the end?
You would think.
That's their thing. By the way, now that McDaniel is the favorite, first coach fired, obviously. Want to take a stab at who the first quarterback benched favorite is?
Yeah, I do want to take a shot
first at that. Quarterback benched, who's the favorite?
First quarterback benched.
I think he got off to a pretty slow start. Not a great start. As you'd expect for the favorite.
As I would expect for this player?
You would expect the favorite to be the first quarterback bench to not have had a very good week one.
No,
like,
but
it's not Daniel Jones.
Is it Russell Wilson?
It's Russell Wilson.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, Brian Daboll was asked about it. Is Russ going to start?
And right.
My brain was going to young rookies that didn't play. I'm like, oh, J.J. McCarthy played, second-year guy. What are the rookies that didn't play? And Jackson Dart's the answer, yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah, and then Rattler and Flacco are the next two after that. And then Caleb Williams, which I think that's a ridiculous line. Why would they bench Caleb Williams?
They did lock up Tyson Bagent to a deal. They did. They signed Tyson Bagent.
They did. That was a weird contract when I saw it. It wasn't like $9 million.
He's kind of okay good. Yeah.
Is he, or are we just thinking about how Collinsworth used to compare him to Mahomes?
Well, that's the thing about getting a coach like Ben Johnson is, you know, you take that job because you have Caleb, and Ben Johnson might be like a Shanahan-level offensive mind where it's like, listen, I can find someone else to do this. I know I'm good.
Right.
That's Shanahan, that's McVay, that's Matt LaFleur, that tree of I know I'm good. Right when LaFleur lost Jordan Love for a couple games, who went in?
Malik Willis.
And he was totally respectable? He was
totally fine. After he was horrible in Tennessee.
I think Ben Johnson is that level of, all right, we're going to let Caleb figure some things out because I'm ready to win some games and I know I'm good.
Well, what might be a weird dynamic there, too, is don't the Shanahan guys like quarterbacks that keep it all in structure, right? Like, my offensive scheme, my concepts, that's going to be getting guys open. Like, you just got to stay within the frame of that, and that's going to work. How do those guys usually feel about quarterbacks like Caleb Williams who are going outside of structure all the time?
That's what I mean. Yeah.
All the time. Like, really, like, Purdy doesn't do that. In with Shanahan, and Darnold never did that with Minnesota with O'Connell, and with Ben Johnson, Goff didn't do that. Like, those guys don't like the out of structure guys generally. Garoppolo has been the quarterback that's run that system too, but still, Caleb Williams, first overall pick to be benched at some point during this year, it'd have to go pretty poorly.
Mike in a car is up. Hey Mike, good morning.
Hey guys. Brady, I mean, following up on what you guys were talking about earlier, I just don't get how he can, what he did in the second and third series of the game. You know, you talked about maybe that the Bills thought that they were going to be able to stop the Ravens. What does that have to do with it? The point is that you put points on the board. And the conservatism that he showed in that second and third drive, those stupid wide receiver screens, the run on second and one and third and one, the 3 2-point conversions. I mean, where was the ingenuity? Where was the announcer says, here we go. This is the biggest play of the year, biggest play of the game. He's going to draw up something special for this 2-point conversion, and he throws a corner pass to Coleman, which is even in the best case scenario is a 50-50 ball. I mean, there just seems to be, and it goes back to last year when we tried that quarterback sneak 5 times and failed 4 times on big situations against Baltimore, against Kansas City, and it's like, where's the ingenuity? Where's the I'm going to do something different that nobody's ever seen. I'm going to surprise these guys. He did it once with the Moore handoff inside, which was a great 8-yard gain. But it's like we've got these big situations, and there's nothing. There's nothing different. There's nothing surprise. Let's make Josh throw a perfect pass to a guy in the corner of the end zone on a play which may cost us, if we don't make it, may cost us the game. And you think you would have drawn up something special. Yeah. I don't know.
Thanks, Mike. I mean, fades are statistically low probability plays. Now, some receivers are going to be better than others, and I'd rather throw it to Keon Coleman than pretty much anybody else on the team, maybe, if you're going to do like a post-up kind of fade. That said, you know, without getting too far down on that, I will admit to something. I find myself a little frustrated. The offense is great, not complaining.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just admitting this. Safe space, circle of trust. That I get a little frustrated with, like, okay, an Allen sneak for not much. If you're going to do it, it's got to work all the time to me. Otherwise, when it doesn't work, when it gets bottled up, I think, man, there's just no other idea than try this again. And they got that way with Dorsey, too. Dorsey would be like three in a row from Allen inside the two. And I think, you don't have plays?
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it works and it's all great. And other times, you know, I got Josh in fantasy, so I do like those. But I do sometimes think, how about some, well, whatever. I don't want to complain. They scored 41.
They scored 41.
You know? When they almost scored 25 if a pass didn't get deflected into the arms of a receiver. But still. Anyway.
Yeah, I didn't like the first half either. The screen, I had a bigger problem with the screens than I did with anything.
But it
was the timing of the screens. And it's also like you got to live and die sometimes with like Josh checks into that. And sometimes he'll check into a screen on third and six. And I'm going, what is he doing? And then he'll also check into, let me put James Cook next to me and run him out to the flat on the right. Yeah. And it's a 50-yard play that Allen got them into.
But the key on, the key difference on that is, if you check into a play and the alignment is such that, like, it ends up, I'm checking to a tight end screen. I feel like I'm capped on that.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas James Cook, oh, I got Cook in space. That I do like. Anyway, they scored 41. We got to shut up and move on to the Jets at some point. Maybe not. It was such a great game, we probably shouldn't. Extendo Sports coming up 803-0550 on WGR.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Hey, quick on our YouTube stream and feed. We're about 400 away from 10,000 subscribers.
Mm-hmm.
This thing's only, you know, still kind of getting off the ground. So if you haven't, jump in and let's get a subscriber surge. You have the 10,000.
Yeah.
You know, you could see us every day. Who wouldn't want to do that?
Right.
You could tune in after a primetime game and say, let's see how tired they look. It's right there for you.
Well, we'll get one of those again in a week.
Yeah. And then another week and a half. They have three of the first five in primetime.
Yeah.
Which is...
the game everyone can't wait for. The Saints game.
Yes.
Well rested. And after a big win.
After the New England game... Then it's what? Monday night. Another prime time.
Yeah, Monday night.
And then a week off. And then 1 o'clock for Carolina.
I don't think we have a... is there another night game after that? Don't they only have like one?
Then it's 4:25.
Houston. Houston's
That's
night,
right, Thursday maybe. Night.
The Bills have signed Fedarian Mathis, which is a great name.
Hold on, let me guess the position.
Fedarian Mathis.
Defensive tackle.
Bam. Got it on the nose. Jets defensive tackle. So this is a little...
Intel
signing.
Intel.
Yep.
How does that work? I need... That's what I need. Hard Knocks. You signed with the team you're about to play.
Yeah.
And they bring him in like, Fedarian. Oh, buddy. And you give like, there's a dinner is out for him. Keys to a car over here. Oh, would you like to take this for a spit, Fedarian Math? Come on. So, how's your time with the Jets? Yes, yeah. What do you think of that defense over there? Give us their calls right now.
He shows up to his locker. He's like, oh, where's my equipment? And he looks at, there's just a questionnaire.
Yeah.
About like, what will the Jets run in this situation? What are these questions? The Cowboys also are having Jadeveon Clowney in for a visit today.
Okay.
You know, shame they need a pass rusher. Don't know where they could have got one of those. Parsons had a sack playing like, didn't he play like 9 snaps?
Yeah, it was pretty
He was awesome. Yeah.
803-0550. You can call the Extra Point Show because we're done. Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show is coming up. You can tune in. Derek and Zach are going to pop in here. We're back tomorrow. It's ahead of a Commanders-Packers game, less than a month away from the Sabres preseason. That's cool. Sabres season.
Less than 2 weeks from the preseason.
That's right. All right, back tomorrow. Cheers.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.